thank the Lord today for his inspiration and his help during these times where we have had to do these recordings, and we trust that the Lord will bless another one to bring forth the thought that he has in mind. We want to talk this morning about growing in our salvation, growing in our salvation. We're starting in Colossians 1, 3 through 6. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So this is Paul talking to a congregation of saints. And he said, I heard about your salvation. I heard that you were saved, and that things had changed, and that you were believing all of the gospel, and that the gospel was bringing forth fruit in your life. In other words, fertile. You were being fertile in the Lord. The gospel brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. You know, there are many times that we have heard the gospel, but those first times that we begin to hear the gospel and begin to understand what it meant and begin to make our way towards God and let him draw us and lead us and get saved and all of that, there was a fertileness there that where it just seemed to abound forth, and it just seemed to grow fast, and it just seemed to move forward. And we want to be careful to maintain that. There is something about when we're first saved where we're not necessarily ashamed of the gospel. Do you remember when you were first saved and you were telling everybody? And maybe you were even speaking more than you really understood. But you were telling everybody about it. But as time goes on, we get more wisdom. At least that's what we call it. We call it wisdom. But if we're not careful, it won't really be real wisdom. It'll be that I've learned that there's a price to be paid for telling about the gospel. And so I've decided not to pay the price. I've decided to keep quiet here, keep quiet there, and just not mention it here, and be careful there. And we lose our fervency for sharing the gospel. So this is just a congregation that is growing in the Lord, and Paul goes on to tell them some things. If we go down to verse 9, it says, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now that's a lot in that sentence. It says that you be filled. We know what filled means. It doesn't mean half. It doesn't mean three quarters. Filled is right at the top, right at the brim, right there. Filled. With the knowledge. This knowledge is talking about all things ethical and divine. Filled with that kind of knowledge. See, we have a lot of other kind of knowledge. We have street smarts knowledge. We have college knowledge. We have common sense knowledge. We have a lot of knowledge. But this is talking about our salvation knowledge. And so this knowledge is talking about the ethical and the divine things. That's the knowledge we're talking about. And of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom. This wisdom is not that something that I've learned. But this wisdom is talking about the practice of the requisites for godly and upright living. In other words, it's practicing godly and upright living. This is wisdom. When we understand real wisdom, we begin to practice the things that are godly and upright and holy. We begin to practice those things. That's the wisdom that the scripture here is talking about. When we're filled with all knowledge and wisdom. In other words, wisdom of the things of God, knowledge of the things of God, and that we're doing all of those things. It says that we're filled. So we're filled with all of the practice of the upright living, the holy living. We're filled with it. Do you know, sometimes as we go along, we find things that are not so holy in our life.
Yes.
We find things that are not so upright. We didn't understand them before, but once we get a hold of the fact that they're unholy, not upright, then we should begin to follow along and be fertile in those things.
Yes.
Bring forth fruit in those things. So many people in the beginning of their spiritual walk, they learn precious, precious lessons. They understand some things. They get a hold of some things. But do you know, a lifetime of living can make those first things that you learned get a little dim. Many, many years, it can get a little dim. Those things that God taught you so fervently in the beginning. And now, 50 years down the road, here you are, and there's a lot of questioning going on about this or questioning about that, and if you don't remember how God dealt with you in the beginning, how he fervently helped you and blessed you and laid down what his requisites were for you, for this holy living, if you don't remember that, you're liable to be led away. It says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. See, this is growing in salvation. We don't just take a step in and then don't go any further. That's what many, many people do in the world. They get a hold of God. They even get saved. But they don't go any further. They don't gain any knowledge. They're not fertile. They don't grow more on and on and on into their salvation. They feel like what they've done is enough. I'm forgiven. And he'll forgive me for everything else I do from here on out. And that isn't how it works. It says you walk worthy. We're to walk worthy. This is how you grow in the Lord. Is you're checking yourself all the time. Am I walking worthy? This day, yesterday, last week, did I walk worthy? Were there times that it wasn't really worthy to be called by God's name? That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Oh, you know, it's one thing to do the right thing. And it's another thing to please someone. See, you can do the right thing and have bad attitudes in your heart. That's not pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
You can do the right thing and yet have within yourself an attitude of that's as far as I'm going, I'm not going any further.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things that people do to one another, the kind of things they do on the job. This is what they do. So we're to be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that we please the Lord, that we ask the Lord, would this please him? Is this pleasing to God? Because if we're not pleasing God, we're not moving forward in our salvation. We're not growing in our salvation. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, there has to be an increase. We can't live on old blessings. We can't live on old revelations. We can't live on old things that God, lessons that God taught us. We have to have fresh and new. We have to have every week some kind of growth taking place, some kind of something that causes us to move forward. We have to do that. We have to increase. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Do you know what this all might means? Strengthened with all might. All might. Moral power and excellency of soul. Strengthened with all moral power and excellency of soul. Do you know that the more that we learn of God and the more we put into practice that we learn, the stronger we get. And the more excellent is our soul towards God. The more that God looks down and looks upon our soul and says, they're doing an excellent job of fighting their flesh every day and of growing in me and listening to what I'm telling them. And they're not stagnant and they're not just being stubborn, but they're actually moving forward. So it says, in all patience, long suffering, and joyfulness. Oh, you know, sometimes we move forward in the Lord, but we're not so joyful about it. We need to be joyful about it. Oh, yes, we all learn hard lessons. Lessons that sometimes shame us. Lessons that sometimes rebuke us so sharply that we become, in a sense, we become disturbed to think that, Lord, how could I have been thinking that way when I'm living for you? But that's just God. That's just God coming to your rescue and showing you something.
Yes, amen.
Once we learn it, once we see it, then we're responsible for it. But you know, so many people, we learn lessons sometimes, but that's as far as it goes. We learn the lesson, we see it, but we don't really take time to meditate and pray about it, to let it really sink down in and become a part of us. In the beginning, when we were first saved, that's what happened. We were interested in our Bible, and we were looking at it all the time because it was new. You know, we didn't know what we were going to find in there. And it was so new, and we were just interested all the time. See, well, now that we know a lot of what's already there in the Bible, it may not seem as interesting to us. We have to have the same fervency that we did in the beginning. We have to keep growing. We can't get stagnant. We have to keep growing in our salvation. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Giving thanks to the Father. I get the inheritance of the saints, their reward. I get it. I get everything that's promised to me here on earth, and I get everything that's promised to me after I'm away from this earth. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Isn't that wonderful? See, we're to have a thanks. We're to be giving thanks. We're never to get over this. This is something we're never to get over, that we are to continually remember and meditate and realize what all God has delivered us from and have translated us into his kingdom of his dear son. He's made us sons of God. He has made us in that place in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are never to forget this, what happened to us.
Amen.
It's when people begin to forget. They begin to forget where the deep pit they came out of.
Yes.
They begin to forget how far they have come. They begin to forget all the battles and everything that they have fought so hard to win, to get where they are. Don't you know the people that backslide, they have forgotten.
Yes.
People that backslide have forgotten. They've let it slip and slide out of their minds. And here they go off, and they're out there trying to live for the Lord, but they forgot all the thankfulness of where God brought them from. They forgot all of the evil they were mixed up in. They've forgotten all of that. And now they're just struggling along. Part of our victory and part of our growing in the Lord is never forgetting.
Amen.
Never forgetting where we came from.
Thank the Lord. Help.
All right. 2 Timothy 1. 13 and 14. It says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Hold fast, it says. The form of sound words. Oh, listen. There are times that the words come, whether it's reading it in the Word of God or whether you hear it in a testimony or you get it out of the Bible or you get it out of a message. Yes. Wherever you may find it, it says hold fast to the form of sound words.
Amen.
What that means is truthful words, sound words, correct words. Oh, listen, the reason we learned so quickly in the beginning was because we were willing to listen to what the Lord said.
Amen.
And we got it. We got that feeling, you know, when anointing hits and it just burns, something burns down in your bosom and you go, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, that's it. I know that's true because of what's happening here. I know it's true. But if I don't keep that part of me alive, see, by constantly remembering where I came from, constantly reaffirming those sound words, praying, say, Lord, I'm glad and thankful you brought me out of this and you brought me out of that and you taught me this about myself and you taught me your ways here and your ways there and I didn't understand all those things. I am so thankful. See, I'm holding fast. I'm not letting it get away from me. I'm not letting it go into the background to where I don't think about those things anymore. And I just struggle with my day to day. No, that is not the way to grow in the Lord. We grow because we remember where we came from and what the God has done for us so far.
Amen.
We hold fast to those things.
Yes.
We hold fast to those convictions He set on our heart. We don't question. We hold fast. Sometimes we get things early on in our life. He convicts us of certain things. And then, like I said, as time goes on, people's minds change. People begin to question. People begin to move off and around and off of sound doctrine. And so these things begin to question and pop up and cause a lot of discourse and a lot of trouble. But it won't cause you trouble if you hang fast, if you earnestly hold fast to those sound words that you heard and you begin to obey. Why would you turn around and go a different way when those things that you were obeying brought you closer and closer to the Lord? Why would you do that? Why would you turn back? Why would you drop anything that you had been doing for maybe years just because someone else is trying to come up with all kinds of reasonable things why we shouldn't do it this way or that? See, because that good thing was committed unto thee and kept by the Holy Ghost. See, it's kept by the Holy Ghost. It's committed. The Holy Ghost helped us to understand it and imprinted it in us. And then when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we remember all those things that He gave us. And we need to remember. And we need to never forget. We need to remember the day He said, don't do this. And we said, yes, Lord, I won't do this ever again. And that means ever again. No matter what everybody else is doing around you, ever again. I'm not going there. You impress this on my heart. I haven't forgotten. But you see how easy it is to go through time and years and forget the things God imprinted on your mind and your heart. Those things that were needful for you in the beginning are still needful for you now. If they may even be more needful in this changing world, in this world where everything is being turned upside down and good is evil and evil is good. In this world, we need to be able to hang on to some things we learned early on. Early on. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Earnest heed, devout thought and effort. Earnest heed. Therefore, we ought to give the more devout thought and effort to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It is so easy to let things slip. We forget so easily. We are human. And we have to work at remembering. You have to work at remembering in your everyday life. What do do that? Some people tie strings around their finger. Some people put up lists and notes on the refrigerator or before they go out the door. We make all manner of things to make sure we remember. But what do we do with the Lord? Do we make sure we remember? Do we have anything that we've written down? Do we have anything that we keep a track of? Is there any way that we work at remembering what God has done for us? We would all have a horrible time to go back over our life and start at the beginning and come up with the things that God taught us. We would have a hard time. We wouldn't remember every single one of them. But we need to give the more earnest heed. Why? Lest we let them slip. Lest they slip away. We forget that God ever told us that. We forget we haven't talked about it or thought about it in so long, we can't remember what God really told us about that. Well, I think he dealt with me one time about something like that, but I can't remember exactly what it was.
Help
us to give an earnest heed, devout thought and effort. If you're going to grow in your salvation, you're going to have to do some devout effort and thought into your salvation experience. The past of your experience and your experience today. You're going to have to put some thought into it. It's one of the reasons why we pray at night to go over our day. We go over our day and say, Lord, this happened today or that happened today. Have I pleased you today? Have I not pleased you today? You see what I'm saying? We make some effort to make sure that we're actually going forward and not letting things slip and slide around. There are so many people that let things slip out of their lives. And later on in life, they will tell you, well, I wasn't really convicted. This is what they say. I wasn't really convicted. I just did it because all the saints were doing it. But the truth of the matter was, that is not what happened. There may be a few here and there that did it like that. But very, very few. Most everyone was convicted in their heart. They felt that power in their very bosom. They felt it constraining them and telling them, this is truth. This is truth. You need to do this. But because they didn't keep up with it, because they began to let little things, just tiny little things slip. Hebrews 4. 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. In other words, the gospel's been preached everywhere. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's why people can come in and sit among us. They can hear the word preached. They can hear the singing. They can hear the prayers, the preached word. And they go out unaffected. They didn't let it help them. They fought against it. I'm convinced that people that come in among us, I'm convinced that the Lord asks them questions, touches their heart, pinpoints things, and they begin to fight right there in their seat. They begin to fight against those things. Oh, I don't even want to think about that. Oh, I can't go there. You know, I've got some things. I gotta get this done, get that done first. They start making excuses and doing some things so they walk, because it's not mixed with faith. In other words, because it's not mixed with an undying faith towards God,
yes.
To where they believe him, they receive him, and they know that it's what's best for me.
It's true.
Because they don't have that, they sit in their seats and they fight against all the little pricks, just like Paul kicked against the pricks. That's what they do. They sit in our services and they kick against the pricks that God sends their way. But this says, let us fear. Fear what? To come short. Let us fear. Any of you should come, seem to come short of it. Let us fear that we come short.
Help
us. You know, we're said perfect fear, perfect peace. It's a perfect peace. Cast out perfect love. Cast out all fear. There we go. Perfect love. But you should never get rid of this fear. This fear should be present on you every day.
Amen.
A fear to come short. A fear that I will not represent the Lord the right way. I will not represent Him how He needs to be represented. That I won't be the ambassador I'm supposed to be. That people will get the wrong idea about God and what is permissible in this life because they look at me.
Oh, help me, Lord.
Let us fear. This is how we grow. When we have a healthy fear,
yes,
to come short. Oh, see, sometimes we look around and we say, oh, God understands, and oh, God this, and oh, God that, and He does. He does understand. And He does come in, and He does forgive us for our mistakes and shortcomings and all these things.
Yes.
He forgives us for those things. He lets us carry on. But what are we going to do about the foundation we laid in other people's lives?
Yes.
What are we going to do about that?
Oh, dear God. Yes.
Where they have gotten a perception, an idea of what it is to live for the Lord, that, well, you give up this and this, but, oh, you still participate in all of this, and you can still do all of that, and the Lord doesn't even mind. He doesn't even care. It's okay. Is that what we're teaching? Is that what we're showing everyone? That this is okay. Is that profiting them? Is it leading them to the correct faith? Is it truth? Is that what's going on? In order to grow in our salvation, we have to keep a healthy fear of being short. 1 John 2:24 through 29. 1 John 2:24 through 29. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. See, those things we heard in the beginning.
Yes.
Here it is again. The things we heard in the beginning. If you continue in those things, you're going to be ahead, dear ones. But some people have forgotten what they laid aside in the beginning. They've forgotten the promises they gave in the beginning. They've forgotten the covenant that they made with the Lord in the beginning. They've forgotten the things that God showed them and talked to them about and convicted them of in the beginning. If you forget those things, you can easily be persuaded to pick them back up again. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Do you know there are all manner of seducers out there? There are your family. You have friends. The devil and himself and all of his imps. You have all manner of people around you at all times trying to seduce you back. You have the very spirit of the world trying to seduce you back. The very spirit of all that the world has to offer is constantly putting a draw on us.
Yes.
See, trying to get us back.
It sure is.
Seducing you. But I've written these things concerning them that seduce you. In other words, what you heard from the beginning. Don't forget what you heard from the beginning. Don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget the victories. Don't forget the promises. Don't forget all those things. In order to grow in our salvation, we have to remember what God has done for us, and we have to move forward being very conscious that, Lord, I don't want to come short. I want to keep going forward. I don't want to make a shipwreck here. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. See, there's anointing you've received of him abiding in you. When the Holy Ghost comes in and abides in us, there is some anointing that we receive with that. There is an anointing to be able to understand, an anointing on the word, an anointing on the written word and the spoken word. There is an anointing, and because he lives in us, we don't need that necessarily a man teach us. In other words, all these voices, you see, there's all these voices we just talked about. That devil's voice, your friends, your family, all these voices, the worldly lure of the things in the world, those are all voices out there. It says you don't need them to teach you. You don't need them to teach you. You don't have to listen to all of their arguments. You don't have to listen to all of their reasonings. Because the anointing in you teaches truth. The same anointing teaching you of all things and is true and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. See, that anointing teaches us. We don't need all these voices. We don't need to pay attention to these voices. We don't need to be involved with all those voices. Because the Spirit within will teach us. The Spirit within will teach us. He will help us to be able to understand where we go to next, what thing we go after next, what thing we might need to attack next. All right. 2 Timothy 2, 15 and 16. 2 Timothy 2, 15, 16. Study. Oh, we all know what that is, don't we? Study. So many people want to just hear this voice from heaven. So many people just want to be led by the Holy Spirit inside of them. And those are all good things. But the scripture tells us study. You know how there are many times that when we're being taught things in school, you remember how we had teachers that told us, now study, you never know when there's going to be a pop quiz. And they just flat out told you, any day you can have a pop quiz. You need to do your homework every night. You need to read what you're supposed to read every night. She may have a pop quiz. Well, this is what life is. It's a pop quiz every day. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what's going to happen that day. We don't know what kind of grace and strength we're going to have for that day. So we need to study to show ourselves approved before God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, I don't make gross errors because I study to show myself approved. I study to make sure that I'm growing. I study to make sure I'm not forgetting my lessons. I study to make sure that I'm advancing in my spiritual understanding and even the morality of my heart and soul, that is increasing, that it is more than it was. I study. Then it goes on and it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Profane. Yeah. Heathenish, wicked. That's profane. Heathenish, wicked. Vain babblings. Discussions of vain and useless matters. Now, I would venture to say that we spend a lot of our conversation in vain and useless matters. We discuss many subjects with people all the time throughout the day, but are any of them meaningful? Do we take more pleasure in talking about the vain and useless things in the world, the unanswerable questions, the wicked, the heathen, the bad, the oppressed, oppressive? Do we spend more of our time talking about those things than the beautiful, the holy, the exceptional, the blessed? Says shun profane and vain babblings, because they increased more ungodliness. Have you ever noticed it? Ever been in a family gathering? I have. Where they begin to talk about some subject, and you try to join in, but your view is a more godly view. And as you give forth your view as a Christian, you may be ridiculed or laughed at or whatever, because, you know, they say, well, yeah, that's all good and everything, but God isn't going to be there to da-da-da-da or do this or that. You know, you have to do some things for yourself. They come up with all these things. So we're in those gatherings. Did you ever get caught in discussion to where you ended up that something that wasn't quite as godlike as it should have been was said? And you went home and you said, I should have never entered into that conversation. I should have never said that. Because when you say something, when you finally say something that isn't as godly and as holy as it should be, trust me, there's going to be some there to say, "Ooh, that's not the idea of a Christian, is it?" You see? And you just got caught in it, and you just kind of went sliding with it, and it just overtook you, and it was traveling at a high speed, and before you knew it, you entered in. See, in order to grow in our salvation, we have to harness our mouths, our tongues, what we enter into, whether we're speaking out loud or what we enter in out loud, or if we enter into what we're thinking without speaking. We have to let the Lord go in and fine-tune all of that. To grow in the Lord. That's why many of the elders, you don't see them enter into a lot of different discussions, do you? You don't see it. Why? Because they have learned that most of them aren't going to be profitable. I don't know if you've noticed, but many, many times, the wisest ones in the room, and the ones that really have lived a long time, they're the last ones to speak up. Not the first. They're the last ones to speak up in business meetings. They're the last ones to speak up. They're not anxious to have the forefront. They're not anxious to let you know all their ideas, because their ideas aren't theirs. They don't have any ideas out past what God has given them. You can be tied up. There can be all kinds of conversations. There were conversations going on around me where when I was visiting with my family, I did not enter in, because there was nothing godly that I could say. The Lord did not give me a godly thing to enter in. I could have entered in with all kinds of ideas, all kinds of discussion, nothing that would have been what you would call a sinful thing, but it was unprofitable, and it wouldn't have mattered. So I just didn't enter in. I didn't enter in. And I saw after a while where it ended up. And I was glad I hadn't entered in. I was glad then, because it went south. It just kept going south, further and further south. Which verse was I on? 4? Oh, okay. So I'm at the new scripture. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you hear this? His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In other words, remember that knowledge and wisdom? Remember those definitions way back there? Where knowledge, all things ethical and divine, wisdom is the practicing of the godly and the upright living. His divine power has given us those. We have the power to do those that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. We need to be aware of the things we've been given. We need to be aware of the things we have been given so that we don't cast them out as not being important. We need to really recognize how important some of those things are that God has given us. That we just didn't learn to be quiet and, oh, I'm a different person now and everything. No, you have to keep ahead of that, because at any time that can come back. At any time you can throw out a sentence or something somewhere that is not profitable. We need to grow. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There are many, many promises in the Bible. Many promises that we can have this and we can have that, and our enemies won't succeed against us, and all these. We have promises.
Yes.
Hundreds of promises, maybe thousands. But this is the most important one. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have been given exceeding great precious promises. But the most important promises we have are the ones that give us the divine nature. The ones that change us forever. The ones that change us into what we need to be instead of what we are. The one that changes us even after we feel like we're doing pretty good. And then he opens up a door and he shows us a flight of stairs heading downward into more humility. And we find there some things that are still alive that we didn't know were there. These promises we've been given, that we can be a partaker of the divine nature. But you aren't going to get it. You aren't going to get it dabbling in the world. You're not going to get it picking up things you laid aside before. You're not going to get it by living a slipshod life. You're not going to get it by never studying the Word of God. You're not going to get it. You can't have it. Because all of these things are required in order to grow in your salvation.
Amen. Yes, it is.
Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, carefulness, eagerness, earnestness. You know, sometimes we can be careful, but we're not very eager about it. In other words, okay, I'm just going to be careful. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I just won't say anything. You see, that's being careful. But earnestness and eagerness to share the gospel means you can't just not say anything. But it has to be seasoned by the Word of God. It has to be seasoned by the unction of the Holy Ghost. It has to be something that God permits and wants you to spew at that point in time. But we can just be careful. But that's not what diligence is. Diligence is carefulness mixed with eagerness and earnestness. It says, add to your faith virtue, moral purity. Moral purity. Do you know that we have to keep being morally purified? Because we were in sin. We fell so low. We were so lost in sin. We don't even know all of the roots and the little tentacles that spread through our very being that we haven't discovered yet.
Yes.
But they're there. Because sin is so destructive.
Yes.
So virtue. Moral purity. If you're not growing in virtue, if you're not finding new ways to have a more virtuous life, if you're not finding ways to shun more of the immorality and things in this world, you know what I'm talking about. You first get saved, and you may look at somebody, and they may be dressed like the world used to dress, and the way the world dresses, and there's actually a thought goes through your mind that that's kind of cute on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, that's not moral virtue.
Amen.
It should be a shameful thing.
Yes, that's...
You see, we don't understand how deep this goes.
Amen.
It goes way down into our thinking process. It's the difference, you know, when it says that women are to wear modest apparel so that we don't cause anyone to sin. Which is looking too long at us, noticing our attributes, you know, watching us walk away, that type of thing. We don't want that. If we're getting that kind of attention, we need to do something about it.
Amen. Amen. Help us, Lord.
See, that's virtue. Moral purity. The virtue is that, well, that's their problem. That's not moral virtue. Moral virtue is that I will protect them against themselves.
Amen.
I will do that for them.
Helpless, Lord.
It doesn't matter about me and what I like. What matters is that I don't want anybody to take two or three looks at me.
Amen. Helpless, Lord.
Unless they're noticing our godly apparel, that's different. That's different. Because we will get strange looks. And they will notice us. But you want to make sure that it's because you have so much virtue and purity and holiness so that no one would misunderstand you. Nobody would be able to say to you, well, she kind of lured me in. It would be the farthest thing from their mind. And to virtue, knowledge. All things ethical and divine. Ethical and divine, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. See, these are things, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add. All through our Christian experience, we are going to have to add. There isn't a one plan fits all. We don't all get to one point, and that's the end, and we have arrived, and we are free of everything, and we are ready to go to heaven. All of us grow at different ways. All of us have been touched by sin in different ways.
Yeah.
All of us have deep-seated things with deep roots from different things.
That's true.
So there is no one-fits-all message for everybody. And that's why God, He didn't deal with a lot of times very specific things. He dealt with principles.
Yeah.
Because a principle will reach all of those things.
Amen.
So it says, and to knowledge, temperance, self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, there's a lot of things that we consider ourselves having self-control. People have said things like, well, it's a good thing that the Lord has really helped me, or I'd tell them.
Mm-hmm.
They think that's self-control, that they didn't say it. But the point is, they're still saying it. Whether it's in their mind or to some person at the side of them, they're still saying it, and worst of all, they're still feeling it inside.
Right.
See, they got to get that root out.
Amen.
It's not just the outward,
right.
It's the inward. You got to get that root and the inward out.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Temperance, self-control, in everything, in our whole life,
yeah,
not just in some things. Listen, there are many of us that have many, many good qualities, self-control on many lines. But what's your one thing that you don't have self-control over? What's your one thing? What's the one thing that plagues you? What's the one thing that constantly comes back and bites you over and over that you don't have self-control in? That's the one you need to mark. That's the one you need to call out. That's the one you need to work on. That's the one you need to study about. That's the one you need to find scriptures about. That's the one that you need to study it until it gets deeply ingrained inside of you so that you can have victory. And to temperance, patience. Patience. This patience means steadfast enduring. In other words, whatever the devil throws at me, I keep going forward. It may be strong, but I push against it. I may take little tiny baby steps, but it's still going forward. It may be barely an inch, but I gain ground. See, steadfast enduring, keep moving, enduring. No matter how many things he tells us, and you know the devil's in our head every day. Every day he's telling us something. No matter what he tells us or how close to the truth it is, the devil's still a liar. He's still a liar. Because his motivation behind what he's telling you
right.
is meant for your destruction.
Right.
So even though it may be close to the truth, it's not truth because it's not pure.
Amen.
When the Lord tells us something, it's not only close to the truth, but it's right there, right on top of the truth.
Amen.
And we don't have a wondering, is this the Lord telling me this? Is this the devil telling me this? No, it'll have that witness that burns inside of our bosom, that anointing that helps us to know, oh yes, this is the Lord talking. This is the Lord talking. And to patience, godliness, which is just holiness. We don't need to be afraid of somebody calling us holier than thou, because if they're sinners, we are. And that it doesn't come from a prideful place. That comes from a humble place, saying, I know where you're coming from. I used to be there. But praise God, I'm not there anymore. Praise God. It's nothing I've done.
Amen. That's the truth.
It's all that he has done. All of the benefits, everything that he's given. That's why I'm here. This is why I grow in grace, because he made it to where we could grow. This is why I grow in my salvation, because he made it for us to be able to grow. He knew he couldn't tell us everything at once. He knew it was going to be a process of time that we would learn things. He understood and knew all of that. But do you know what? We don't need to take advantage of that. We don't need to take advantage of that and try to pretend like we don't really understand what God's trying to tell us right now. And try to go on doing the thing that we want to do and saying, well, I'm just not sure. The God hasn't told me directly. You know, he hasn't made it plain to me. You know, all these things that people say, I just don't know if it's the devil or God talking to me. There's a lot of excuses out there, but I'll tell you what. In the midst of that thing they're saying, well, I just don't know if it's right or wrong. If the Lord were to burst through the clouds at that moment, they would know which was right and which was wrong. They would know. See, God's just not forcing them to know. Him coming through the clouds would force them to be truthful. They just aren't being truthful, and nobody's forcing them to. And God won't force them to. If they don't want to gently be led, then they won't be led. He will let them have their own way to their own destruction. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. In other words, love of the brethren. That means... And to the brotherly kindness, charity, which is godly love. We're not talking about that frivolous stuff that can come and go. We're talking about a love that is sustained inside of our bosom. Brotherly kindness. Our love for the brethren. Back and forth. Even our love for the sinners. In a way, they are our brethren. In a way, they are our brethren. They're not brethren in the Lord, but they're our brethren in the human struggle,
right.
In the struggle against the enemy.
Amen.
Even they don't want to go some places the devil wants to take them. Even they don't want to go there.
Absolutely.
But we have so many petty things among us as brethren. I don't like the way they did that, or they said this to me, or I was excluded, or I wasn't this, or that didn't happen, or the way they said that, or on and on and on and on, because of our own inability to control our own emotions, our own feelings, to have self-control over our emotions, our feelings, our outward thoughts, because we're not having the control we need. We have petty differences between brethren, and it's not right. It's not right. We have to grow in this. We have to grow. Oh, when you're young in the Lord and you see things that are maybe a little bit wrong, a little bit off, ooh, you want to do something about it. You want to say something. You know, somebody just needs to tell them that this and this and that and that. And somebody just needs to tell them. And what are the elders doing? The elders are sitting in back and saying, we'll just leave it with the Lord. And you're thinking, but they're having influence, and they're having this, and this is happening, and that is happening. And the elders say, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Because this is one thing that when you've lived for the Lord a long time, gotten a hold of these things, one thing you know, you can't change anybody. You can't change anybody. Out of all the counseling and prayers that go up for individuals, you can't change them. You can only pray for an environment that will make it easy for them to change. You can only pray for that the Lord will come in and bring things their way to where they can see and understand. That's all the power we have. We do not have the power to sell somebody they're doing something wrong and think that it's going to get better. It won't. It won't. Unless they're questioning it, it won't. It won't get better. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You see what I'm trying to tell you here? All these things that we're supposed to put on. If we lack in these things, all these things that we just went through the list that we were to put on. If we lack these things, it means we're blind. We can't see afar off. And we've forgotten where we came from. See, we've forgotten. When I see something going wrong in somebody's life and I see them making some bad decisions, some bad choices, some bad mistakes, what you have to do, this is what you have to do. You have to look back at your life and find the place where you did that. Just look back. You'll find it. You will find it. Just look hard enough and you will find it. You've forgotten because, see, you're so far past that now. You've forgotten. Just go back where you were in the beginning and the things that you questioned and the things you didn't measure up on right away and the things that you thought, well, maybe I don't have to do this, or, well, I have a reason why I have to continue to do that. All those things. You will find it in your own life. And you advanced and you got over it and the Lord taught you and you arrived and you got past that point. Yeah. Dear ones, when we love the brethren, we let them have the same opportunities we had. Yes. See, when you love somebody, you let them have the same opportunities for growth that you had. When there was nobody breathing down your neck and telling you what all you needed to do and telling you how you need to change this or change that, nobody was breathing down your neck telling you that, then you need to give the same thing to your brethren. Because, dear ones, they're going to stand alone before God. He's dealing with them. If they do not measure to what he is dealing, they will be found short on the day of judgment. We can't change that. We can't change it. We can't improve it. They are the only ones that can change and improve. We pray to bring about the best atmosphere for that to be done in. That's what our prayer is for, is to surround them with an atmosphere that helps them see themselves, helps them to understand some things, helps them to see the wrong of things. We surround them with prayer so that it is a good atmosphere for them to learn. But there are some people that have much, much good atmosphere, but they still do not make the choice to follow the Lord. They grow up in families with good backgrounds. They grow up in families with good morals. They grow up in families with a real understanding of the Bible, and they still decide to go their own way. There's no guarantee. But our prayers are to surround them with an atmosphere that makes it a place where they can give in if they will. Where they can escape if they will. You know that man that was in the tombs and Jesus came? Do you know the fact that Jesus came in his vicinity gave an atmosphere that caused him to be able to run and fall at his feet? See, he gave him that opportunity. There was that atmosphere, just Jesus' presence there. No doubt Jesus had prayed, before we go here, Lord, before we go here, God, you know, prepare the way, God. Isn't that what we always say? Prepare the way. So the way is prepared, and just the atmosphere that Jesus brought with him caused that man to be able to break free from those devils and do what he wanted to do for the first time. Because of the atmosphere. Verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Diligence, earnest effort. Calling and election, the called and the chosen. That's your call. Your calling was when you were called to the Lord. Your election is that he chose you. Yes, they're coming to me. Yes, I choose them. Calling, it says, give diligence. Give earnest effort to make your call and the fact that you were chosen sure. We have one last verse. Revelations 3:3. It's a little bit of a warning. It says, Revelations 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. It says, in other words, remember, this is about being ready. Yes. Remember how that's received and heard. Don't forget the things you've received and heard. Don't let them slip away. Don't let them go back into your old memories to where you don't think about them anymore. Keep it fresh. Hold fast and repent. Always be ready to repent before the Lord. Be ready to repent before your fellow man. Be ready to do those things. Hold fast. But he says, if thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. We have to have growth in our salvation. We have to have growth in our salvation. You remember the parable of the talents. You remember the one that had one talent, but he had no growth. And what did he say? Cast into outer darkness. That's what he told him. He cast out into outer darkness. Because he had one talent and he didn't grow it at all. Not one inch, not one little penny, one little farthing, nothing. He did not grow. He just buried it away. He would not do anything with it. And he was found. The Lord came back. When the Lord came back to that place, and the others showed their growth, they all doubled what they had done, except the one that had just one. All he had to have was one more. He just had to grow. He just had to grow in his salvation. Dear ones, if we don't grow in our salvation, we will not be ready at the end. At the very last, we will not be ready. The Lord will come through the clouds, or we will meet our end before the Lord comes, and we will not be ready.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what all we've done before the Lord came, if at the time that the Lord comes, we're stagnant.
Oh my God.
We can't be stagnant when he comes. We can't be slipping when he comes. We cannot be just withholding gain when he comes. We have to always be moving forward, gaining growth in our salvation. It has to go from good to better to best to even beyond that. It has to keep going. It has to keep going further. And God does not expect us. He looks down on us with such compassion to know that we are but dust.
Yes.
And he knows what each one of us is capable of. See, this is the reason why he will be justified in saying, it doesn't matter what you did in the past, you're stagnant now. He will be justified because he has been dealing with you all along about being stagnant.
Right.
May not have called it that, but he deals about you with this thing. He deals about you with that thing, and you just kind of play with it a little bit, or you do a little something, but it's not important to you. It's not impressive to you. You know, all you keep saying is, well, I'm saved. But I'm letting all these things be in my life and do that. But I'm saved. You just keep saying, I'm saved. It won't be enough, dear ones, if you haven't grown in your salvation and you are stagnant when the Lord comes.
Yes,
it won't be enough.
Oh, Lord.
It won't be enough.
Mercy, oh God.
Thank the Lord this morning. Amen.